Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Add to the Bone. Today, we have a special episode. It really is special because we are getting closer to India's rebrand announcement, and we hosted one of our new strategical partner, Funnel. So we had a talk with Antonia Hölke. She's a partner success manager at Funnel, and we discussed the current needs of marketing teams in regards to data. The number of advertising and marketing platforms doubled in the last couple of years, and we know it ain't getting easier. Reporting. So how does a marketing team get independent about the collection, organization, storage, and sharing of data? The answer is not Google Data Studio. Well, it's a part of the answer, but it's not the answer. Listen to the episode to find out. Are you Add to the Bone? Then let's begin. Hey, Antonia. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Adrian, for having me. It's a delight to be here.
Absolutely. I was actually really looking forward to this recording because we've been working together at the companies for about a year now. Then let's, you know, dive straight in, present yourself to our audience because I'm sure they'd like to know who you are and what you do. And then we'll continue into our topic.
Perfect. Sounds great. Hello, everyone. My name is Antonia. I'm Partner Success Manager here at Funnel. I've been working with Funnel for over 3 years, started off in the sales team and then moved over to our solution partner team, which is where we work together with wonderful companies such as yourself, other consultancies and advertising agencies whose clients need a robust user-friendly solution to really work efficiently with their marketing data and in a kind of strategic, proactive way. And I myself educate and train our partners there to make sure that they're confident in our value proposition and also know how to, you know, make the most out of our solution.
Awesome. And this is how we actually got to know each other. We onboarded with, so India onboarded with Funnel, I think, around a year ago or almost a year ago. Yeah. I need to look at the first first invoice. And I think just to describe the reason why we started working together is we were looking to automate the reporting for our clients for paid media campaigns, but we were looking for a clever way to do it. Like, we had a lot of platforms that we've tried before that would sync channels to different destinations. We tried Data Studio, we tried, I don't mind, you know, name dropping, we tried Supermetrics, but there was always a point that something was missing. We felt that either we don't get accurate data or everything just felt too complicated. And then we came to Funnel, we got the presentation, we did a test together, and that solved a lot of our problems. So why did it solve, let's say, which problems or why did it solve exactly? There was something or like a catchphrase or a word that I wasn't aware of that was called data normalization. And usually, at least for PPC or paid media managers, we don't mention it too often, at least not we. So if there's somebody in the audience that's more advanced, that's okay. But basically, we were missing the point between pulling the data from multiple sources and presenting them. There was a process missing. And I think that's kind of what we understood when we onboarded on Funnel, which made the work more complex at the beginning. The setup, it took more time. But the moment we did it, we never looked back. So I think kind of that's the pain point and the value proposition that we were experiencing. And from this point on, let me address kind of by asking you, what is Funnel to the market and how does it speak to our need? Because I'm sure that we are only a part of, you know, the solutions, or, you know, our problem is only one part of the problem that you guys solve.
Yeah, no, I would love to run you through a high-level overview of Funnel. Maybe we can start off by saying that we are on a mission to actually help marketeers be more data-driven. So we know everyone's already saying they're aiming to do that, but I think there's a kind of difference on aiming to be data-driven versus having the right infrastructure in place to allow you to actually do that and to accommodate what that means. And so, you know, in practical terms, Funnel is a software as a service company, and we provide thousands of marketeers with a central hub for all of their marketing data. And that is so that they can really make sure they have one go-to place where all of their data sits. And like you mentioned, that transformation part is key, and we'll delve a little bit more into that, I think, later on. But to really feel like you have a go-to solution that allows you to look at that data and take those insights from it that were previously just a lot harder to uncover with the different workarounds that we see on the market today.
Now, the word data that you mentioned is also per context, right? It has multiple kind of meanings depending on the context. So which kind of data can we process, or which kind of marketing data can we process using Funnel?
Yeah, so that data could be anything ranging from your paid advertising to web analytics, could be email marketing, social media. So the list really, really goes on. And we also see this on the market. So from my kind of time of being at the sales team, we've had so many conversations, and every business that comes to us, you know, has a different set of platforms that they're using. And we realize that we want to accommodate, you know, that variety and that complexity, because people are experimenting more frequently, and they might just A/B test on a certain platform that, you know, may work or may not, but we need to accommodate that change and to have a platform that you can easily say, hey, I want to add Bing into the mix. Let's see how that's performing. Might not be the right fit. And then you can quickly iterate and remove your, you know, take away those resources and reshuffle them elsewhere. So it can really be anything under the sun. And I know that, you know, from those different conversations, I think we see over 10,000 different, you know, digital marketing platforms on the market today. So it's a very vast landscape, and we're trying to cater to as many of those different kind of subcategories, if you will, as possible.
Okay, so let's, before we dive into the platforms that you connect to, let's, because the number is huge, let's talk about the average user, right? You basically said that the goal is to make data-driven marketing more accessible, I would say, or easier for. So who's the typical client? And who's the typical versus who's the typical user, right? Like, who's the one coming with the, describing the problem? And is it different from the actual user, the one who's managing the platform?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think, so we tend to all kinds of different verticals and industries, right? So I think we definitely come more from a kind of e-commerce, gaming kind of background, because those were at the forefront of being super data driven. They were already the first ones to really work with online advertising data. But these days, we really cater to all kinds of industries, whether it's hospitality and travel, or fintech, or, you know, any kind of B2C company. So it's quite a broad range over there. But then when it comes to the final user who's actually working inside Funnel, again, it could be either the digital marketing teams themselves. We also see sometimes IT or BI teams get involved as well as users. But there, I think we can really see the number of platforms rising over time since I've been with Funnel as well. So I think over the last 2 years, we've seen the number of average platforms double from a B2C kind of marketer perspective. So that's, I think, 12 platforms on average. And then for our larger clients, that might be even 20 today. So I think, especially when you're starting off and thinking you can handle a lot of this, maybe with these other workarounds that we'll delve into, I think that there's no really trajectory for that, because it just doesn't become maintainable to work through all of this data if you're working with 12, 15, or 20 platforms in your average marketing mix.
And that's also per type of marketing, right? So the client or the case we came on board with, we ran only paid media for in one country, but on, I think, 7 or 8 different channels. There were like 4 or 5 platforms in 8, 9 different ways. And a standard solution just wouldn't cut it, because you have, you know, different definitions. What is an impression? How do we name a click? Is click really a click, right? Like, one of the questions that we constantly ask ourselves in paid media, is a click really a click or a link click? And where do we import the conversion data and the sales data and so on? So that's when we first met, heard the expression data normalization. I think that's a critical part of the process, right? Because connecting or plugging platforms is the easy part. You have multiple tools that allow you to just log in and share the data. But what is the critical, or what is so critical about data normalization that makes a difference?
Yeah, I think that part gets so easily overlooked because we have these other platforms that do the data collection. And intuitively speaking, it sounds like that, you know, that's the end goal, having all your data in one place and centralizing it. And I think unless you've personally experienced that normalization part, I think it is sometimes harder to share that part of the journey before it's sitting in a dashboard, because it sounds like you just want it in one place. And then you have a data studio or Looker studio now dashboard at the end right. of the day, or a Tableau dashboard. And that organization part is so critical so that you're actually having readable and usable data. I mean, it's, you know, all of these different platforms are speaking slightly different languages. Like you say, they don't really, is a click a click, or is cost the same as amount spend, or is, you know, just spend in another platform.
Yes.
So you're really not comparing apples to apples. And if you want to throw in some different currencies across different markets, you have a really, really complex data set that is not really telling you anything, even if you've managed to accumulate all of that data into one single Google Sheet, for example. And I've actually tried this exercise myself. It was something we did when we started at Funnel. A lot of new people, you get to kind of experience that pain to really understand what that transformation looks like. And I think that exercise maybe included four platforms and two or three markets. And I can just say that I was not able to get really consistent, trustworthy data at the end of it with answering some questions. Everyone in the that was doing the exercise had some discrepancies in, you know, what they were, what numbers they were reporting on. And I think that's a key part, is also being able to trust the data that you're working with if you're having to have workarounds in things like spreadsheets to do that.
I mean, we use spreadsheets, I have to admit. I mean, Google Sheets is still one of the most common destinations that we use. But the question is, what's the, like, there's the technical reliability. Is it updated on time? Is it using the same format every single time? Because we would have issues with sheets breaking because, you know, you wouldn't understand that something changed or has been changed by somebody else. But the, again, I'll repeat again, the data normalization is what really made a difference for us. So I have to take a step back at this point and say that I have kind of a lesson learned from working with different UXs, UIs for different ed tech and media buying platforms. I realize that a lot of the times the ones that are super, super pretty, you know, front end colorful designs are the ones that are really just masquerading or hiding the fact that they're very, very simple. Mm-hmm. And when we onboarded with Funnel, I was like, shit, that looks really simple, which means I'm going to have to put some work into it, you know, like, mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to expect, because on the one side you said, I want to lower the workload that's associated with reporting. And of course, that's not only setup, it's setup, maintenance, right? Making sure that the numbers keep being updated on time and correctly. And I was like, what did we get into? And then I realized while I was working is that the goal here is to set the definitions, right, this data normalization, to set the rules correctly from the beginning to avoid having to repeat that every single time, or editing formulas on single cells and rows in sheet and then wonder why it breaks. And that was for me really, again, the listeners can make fun of me. I'm sure they are more advanced media traders. And since our PPC, like the account managers and the campaign managers were really busy, I took it as a strategical project. And I was working on the first setup. That was mind-blowing, because what happened is after putting 1.5 days into it for that client, everything worked. You know, so at the beginning, it felt shit. I'm going to have to work for 1.5 days for that. But at the end, it was like, what? It only took me 1.5 days to get this done. And that's it. No more problems.
I think that's amazing. And it's such an, it's not talked enough about, that kind of front loading the work for the long run. I think is such an interesting topic. It actually reminds me of one of our use cases with Digicel, which is like a digital operator. And they're headquartered in Jamaica and had huge scalability. So they were over 5,000 employees, 26 markets, just really, really big scale. And I remember specifically from this use case that they were actually having this conversation with us like the chicken and egg. You know, I don't have time to invest in a better solution because I have all this other stuff to do. And, you know, we had to kind of really break that down into, why don't you have enough time? is because you're where are you actually spending that time? What are you investing that time in? And it really was this spreadsheet, putting things together, maintaining formulas, reporting on all kinds of different regional and corporate levels for the whole company. And it turned out once we could kind of break that down and say, hey, if we, you know, start onboarding with this and start looking at your naming convention, start mapping this into different regions and having that logic kind of built up inside Funnel at the beginning, that long run, that, you know, the long-termness of all of that is super easy. And then you can share your data, make that accessible across different team members or different departments. Whoever needs use of that data can then freely do that in a really flexible way. But it's sometimes hard to get that mindset from the get-go because people are busy and they are spending all of this time already doing what they're doing. And I think, yeah, it takes a bit of kind of nurturing or figuring out how much, you know, that front load is and what it will gain you in the long run.
And that's a gap we see across all, let's say, the service sector. And one of the reasons is, you know, clients don't have enough people or enough skills in-house, but they're also really reluctant on paying for service, right? Because they believe that everything can be solved really quickly. And it's a bit like the question of the horse and the car, right? What would I ask if I, like Henry Ford, if I would ask people which kind of car they want, they would say a faster horse or something like that. I don't know if I'm quoting it correctly. So it's the same here. If you go and ask a client, how would you like us to help you? They would say, can you just help us fill in these Excels and sheets manually faster? And what we're saying here is like, we can set a project and like solve all those issues you have. We'll need a week of work or I don't know how much time, but it's definitely going to take, like, it's going to be a bulk payment, but it's going to, if you think about how much work it's going to save you over the next, I don't know, 3, 6, 12 months, since marketing is always, it's an always on practice. That's just incredible. And I'm just saying, like, we're recording the podcast to celebrate the partnership and we're also rebranding soon. So that's a part of it, but it really made a dramatic change to the way we treat or work with reporting for clients. And that's why we're so enthusiastic about it.
We're just as excited. So it's really great to get, you know, into the weeds of how it actually impacts. And I think it's interesting, like you mentioned, for your use case, the data organization was a key part, that transformation. But for another use case, it might be the actual collection part and having all of, you know, being able to connect to all of those different data sources. If you're in a more niche industry and you have those long tail platforms, or perhaps it might be that accessibility of the data when you're wanting to share it elsewhere. So I think that that always really varies which part of that kind of data journey stands out for a given use case. And I wonder, maybe it might be a good time actually to kind of break or summarize those four different aspects of Funnel, just for context for the listeners as well.
Absolutely.
So we do have these four different breakdowns that we can delve into a little bit more details on how people are maybe working in that, you know, in that specific part today, and how we feel marketeers should be more empowered with actually being data driven and owning that data. And that can be the data collection aspect, can be the data organization that we just talked about. It can be data storage or data sharing. So making that data accessible wherever you're wanting to make that data useful, you know, for a different team member or department in general. Did you find that any other ones of these have stood out on some of the projects we've worked on, or should we just take them top to?
I think we can take them top down. Like I said, I think for us, getting the data, well, it also depends because we work mainly in the German market, and then there's some unique tools that you wouldn't get, like automation from each partner. So I think the main reason why, or the first filter we had, is how many of the channels that we use are actually covered by our potential partner. And then we went and explored further capabilities. But just take it top down, I think that would be more logical for our
fantastic
listeners.
Fantastic. I think would love to maybe start by kind of setting the scene on some of the current challenges we see in those four different parts. So when it comes to data collection or connecting to those sources, I think we typically see two main workarounds. It's either you're logging into those different platforms, you're manually downloading spreadsheets and accumulating them in one place. I think that we kind of touched on that earlier. It's typically very time consuming and tedious. It's not a fun part of your job if you like doing analysis and actually optimizing on your performance. It's just and that might, you know, result in you having to settle for weekly or monthly reports because of how much time is associated with that. On the other hand, you may have either tools, like you mentioned, kind of data pipelines, or you might have your IT department that actually maintains plugins to those different platforms. That could be a workaround as well to actually have, you know, build, you know, those API connections yourself. But we see with that issue that kind of goes back to the scalability thing, where if you're active on three channels, sure, makes sense. And I think a lot of people start off on that when they have, you know, the data engineers and data scientists counterparts, you know, in their reach. I think that makes sense, and they start off on that foot. But then we often find that if you're starting to really wanting to experiment and grow your business, grow those online channels, maintaining in a connector is really not something to be underestimated. This is why we have over 100 developers that are really solely dedicated to building and maintaining those key platforms for backfilling if there's any, you know, connectivity issues, to make sure we can maintain them if the APIs are changing for the same platforms, which they tend to do, Facebook being one of them, and just to be up to date with that.
Absolutely. I have to admit that we've worked with multiple clients, all of them, let's say, tech-driven, and although they have in-house developers and IT and, you know, product departments, the amount of resources they get is simply incredible and incredibly low, right? And marketing always gets the lowest priority for tech skills because there's always a bug that needs to be fixed, or a bug or a feature that needs to be developed or launched. And I'm not even talking about something complicated like building, you know, an API script yourself and maintaining it. I'm really talking about basic stuff like, I don't know, tracking capabilities or editing a landing page. Really hard, at least from our experience, to get development resources for marketing activities. So something like that sounds... It needs to be a client that's really, really marketing-oriented and really puts resources, like fixed resources, to make it available for the marketing department.
Exactly. So like you mentioned, it's not only that you're dependent on your IT teams, but you're not probably getting the amount of resources you even need to do the activities or be as proactive with your data as you would like to be. And I think that's a key kind of red thread throughout these four topics, is we want to get rid of interdependencies and make sure marketeers should have the autonomy and the kind of control of their data to make any kind of use of it. Any kind of report, any ad hoc analysis should be able to be done with a couple of clicks, or you know, being able to do it by yourself when you're showing up to your desk in the morning, rather than having to create these really operational inefficiencies in the company and having an interdependency between departments, whilst every other department is also knocking on that IT department's door. So I think that's a key part of it. And that brings me to the second one. So organization, like you mentioned, after you've connected to all of those different data sources and you have a spreadsheet, we do have that kind of really heavy lifting step on actually making that data readable and usable. So really making sure you can you're able to compare apples to apples across that data. And either spreadsheets might be your workaround, again, like formulas that you were referring to earlier. Or perhaps, again, it's the IT team and they're using more complex code or SQL writing scripts in their data warehouses and other more technical tools to start working with that data. And once that's amazing, and I think that for depending on the use case, if you're mapping that data with, you know, other backend data from other departments, I think that's really powerful. But it leaves the marketeer kind of out of the picture. And it means that the marketeer needs to rely on getting that data from the IT department in a way that it's usable, but perhaps you might want to look at it on it in a different angle, and maybe you want to break it down in a different level of granularity. And then you need to go back and say, hey, can you, you know, iterate on that and give me this other set of data to look at? And so I think we see that marketeers are these consumers of the data, but they're not able to simply work and handle that data in an autonomous way. And then I think last but not least, I'm curious if this is also something you saw, is actually when tools like Google Data Studio are kind of overused in a way that they weren't intended.
No, go ahead, complete the question and then I'll...
Yeah, no, I was just curious because I see that we have those conversations a lot where suddenly Data Studio seems like, it's so slow and it's not doing what I want it to do. But I think that comes from a place of trying to make that tool into something it's not, and it's not there to transform data. So I was curious about that.
That is the key, right? So we mentioned before that we knew, or we tried different tools to pull the data from the sources, right? From the channels that we were using. And basically what we did is take it, throw it into Google Data Studio, or I think you mentioned it's now called Looker Studio.
Right. I still need to get used to that.
Yes. I think they're changing the names a lot, so people will think it's a new product. Yeah. And then try it again, give it another chance. And we were just like looking at each other. We said, oh, it doesn't look good. And I was like, forget the fact that we're not designers. How do we connect the numbers, right? So problem number one we mentioned before is how do we compare apple to apple and pears to pears? That's something that we definitely need to do. And then the next, so if the first thing is to make sure that a link click is a link click across all platforms and it's reported in the same way, the second complexity are the custom formulas, right? So basically creating what we call the custom metrics, and saying, now I want to calculate the cost from all of my sources divided by the clicks from all the sources. And our expectation was that if we will throw all the raw data connect it into the Google Data Studio, we will be able to create these formulas there. I don't know how many, well, we should have been clever, right? But I don't know how many hours we've spent on trying to figure it out. And at the end, we came with the same pain, with the same frustration. Like we said, Google Data Studio is shit. We realize it's not shit. It's just not doing what it's like. It wasn't doing the things it was not supposed to do, but we were trying to make it, you know, like our expectation was simply completely off.
Yeah. You were trying to use it at 180% and it was giving you 100.
Exactly.
And I think this applies to any kind of other tools on the market, whether it's Tableau, Power BI, any of these tools. And we recognize that. And I, you know, we'll circle back to that later when I can describe a little bit more how Funnel tends to those different parts. But I think that flexibility of fitting into any type of tech stack is extremely important, because we realize that every company and every business and every team that we're talking to already has some type of infrastructure in place. There are some tools that they're more familiar with, or some other team in the company might be using that tool, and we want to make sure that that kind of is accommodated for, and you can be able to make that data accessible in a variety of tools rather than kind of having an all-in-one solution where then you have this kind of more rigid output.
Yeah, our story with the thing is that we never tried it for ourselves first. We tried it for clients, and we were frustrated that we couldn't get it work. And then our clients got frustrated. But you know how it is. You always have the first client for a specific action, and then you learn, and then you become better for the sake of other future clients. I have to really admit that while we can still get better on design, which is a different topic, plotting data over time or over, you know, X and Y axes and visualizing has become a lot easier, because now we don't have to deal with getting the right metrics or getting the right numbers. It's just putting it on the right, like in the right format. And I can say that while we were looking for, right, like the way we described the problem before we start working together is, we need a tool that will allow us to collect the data from all of our paid media and then turn it into graphs. Like, you know, like a first grader of marketing reporting automation. Put it in a form that will show clients that we're really good at what we do. And and it didn't work. But I can say now that we use either Google Sheets if the client wants to design or build their own dashboards, or we use Google Data Studio because it's just made our work so simple that we don't question the numbers anymore. We don't need to calculate it. We really just need to find the design or the right way to present and visualize the data, but we don't have technical problems anymore doing it. It's only design options that will fight over the colors and, you know, what looks good, but or argue not.
Yeah,
fight.
You're picking your battles now.
Exactly. And I, to be honest, I'm not picking because I don't have the previous battles that I had before. That's actually the honest truth.
Yeah, you
had
a simpler
truth.
Battle.
Simpler, more complex one can argue, right? If you're not a designer, then, but at least the complexity of the technicals, like of technical aspect is covered. And I have to say, we don't have any developers at the company and there were no developers involved in the process, right? It was basically me and I think it was Quentin, our onboarding manager, that was helping me help me with the first setup. And that's it. No developer, no development resources, no IT, nothing.
No, that's the idea. And I mean, the goal is to have these four different, aspects that we talked about, whether it's data sharing, transformation, all of these different parts, to be as intuitive and actually streamlined as possible so that you can do them yourselves and not have to have these bottlenecks internally. Absolutely. Maybe circling back just to kind of go back to data storage, which I think is also an interesting aspect and perhaps also not as talked about, but I think it highlights some of the things that come with needing a one solution that can really host the data. And I think if we look at marketing teams, the way they're working with their data, because they don't have one single tool, that's actually kind of a curious thing, because most other departments like sales, they have a CRM data, a CRM system, finance, they have an ERP system. And marketeers, meanwhile, they don't really have that. And even if they're working in Google Sheets or spreadsheets a lot, which can be extremely rewarding. And like you say, I mean, we use them all the time. Our internal performance team uses Sheets every single day to do ad hoc analysis, and it's extremely powerful. But at the end of the day, that kind of a solution was not really built to kind of host, your company's valuable data. It's not a data warehouse. And when we look at those are not owned by marketing. So I think there's just genuinely a missed opportunity for marketeers to actually be as flexible and proactive with their data as they should be. And being able to look at their data retrospectively and kind of doing a more, doing an analysis on the last 2 or 3 years, or, just being able to pick your data set is also really important. And then lastly, when it comes to the data sharing, I think when we kind of think about why marketeers might not be empowered in that kind of space, kind of goes hand in hand with the storage of not having a single repository. And also, like you mentioned, if you have different tools across different teams, you should be able to send or share that data in those different platforms and make it usable. So I think the key takeaway on data sharing is actually having a solution that gives every marketeer the freedom to choose the best in breed tools for their use case. So whatever you're using the data for, you should be able to simply put that data in whether it's Tableau or Power BI, and then use it in that sense and bring that data to life and actually look at the storytelling aspect of your data.
Right, because that's one of the parts of marketing independence, let's say, that if you have one source of truth, which is not a Google Sheet, it's an actual piece of software where you've set everything, then at the end, if I'm, let's say, the community manager, I can just access the data and share it wherever I find comfortable, assuming that there's, for my needs. There is, the paid media team, assuming that we're not, optimizing on the same KPIs and we're not sharing the same reports, can use the same access point, but use a different destination or a different tool to present the data. I think it's also a critical point, right? We live in the age of SaaS, and each one, like nowadays, you don't have any more just enterprise level software. That means that different teams could use different tools if that makes their lives, more, I'd say, easier, faster, or simply deliver solutions that fit more the way that the team works. So if you have one source of truth, say funnel, right? Then it doesn't matter if one team uses, again, the examples you gave, right, with Tableau and so are enterprise level solutions by now. But let's say I'm fine with Sheets because I do my analysis and that's it. While, I don't know, my campaign manager is a more visual person and he likes to see everything on a graph and look at the data studio. So that's also
a
key point.
Yeah, I think that means that at the end of the day, those teams are really viewing their data as a product and not kind of as a byproduct of their activities. And I think that's a really interesting aspect. And I think maybe to tie it all together, you know, what we feel every marketing team needs is a marketing data hub. So one central place to actually bring all that data in a really user-friendly way, have a solution that's a no-code interface so that marketeers can use it to organize their data, and then being able to, in very simple terms, actually share the data into these different platforms, which we have integrated with.
Right. So to just summarize it or put it like in a quick 30 seconds overview, we're talking about that clients that would want to use Funnel, or what is Funnel? It's basically a data hub that has or addresses four points, right? Yep. It's the data collection, the normalization or organization, as you mentioned a couple of times, the data storage, and the data sharing, right? And the point is to make, let's say, marketing department is more data-driven, but basically to allow marketeers to deal with it on their own, to be in data independent and not data independent, to be independent working on data and not to depend not to depend on tech developers, IT, whichever other resource that the company is not willing to give them access to, because there's just always too much work and marketing is never the first one to get access to those.
No, absolutely. I think that's the really condensed version. And I think, you know, whoever is wanting to take a closer look, we can delve into those kind of different aspects a lot more as well. But I think the idea is to empower the marketeer to have ownership of those four different aspects, and then start to really be able to move from in-platform kind of optimization to a holistic overview of all of my activities. Where should I be spending my resources? And that all in a really kind of agile, fast-paced way, so that you can actually remain really competitive across some of your, against some of your counterparts on the market. Because I think that speed and time to value and time to insights is just a lot more important than it ever was.
Absolutely. And that's one of the next points that I wanted to address, because we haven't talked about pricing. We don't have to get into specifics. I think that one of the reasons why it was hard for us in the past to work with companies like Funnel is because there was a large gap in the price between the easy kind of SaaS swiper card solution, I don't know, 30, 40, 100, maybe 200 euros per month solutions, and into Funnel. And of course, at one, we didn't understand the value proposition, and probably it scared us away because we weren't ready to make this level of spending. But we also mis-evaluated what's the return, right? It's not just about fixing reporting. It's the amount of time and hassle and I don't know, everything that comes to clients reporting anxiety and everything that you have to deal with until you get the numbers right or you don't. How is it, or which kind of clients do you work with, like sizes of clients or spending? Because I think one of the important things for our listeners is to have an understanding of what is the, well, not the value, but the financial value. And how do I know if I fit from a size, right? Because if we have advertisers that are spending 500 here, 1,000 euros there, that's not really the clients that we're looking for that would need this. So what's kind of the optimal or the minimal client size that you think it'll be efficient for to onboard with Funnel?
Yeah. So the really short answer is going to be, it depends, but I'm happy to elaborate and we'll take it from there. So basically, I think we do really, really serve an interesting range of customers, all the way from a one-man band agency who might be, managing several different clients with high budget to a SMB company of 10, 20, 30 people, all the way to enterprise companies that have a lot more complex setups and need more procurement and legal processes to go through. So I think the bandwidth is definitely extremely large, but that's when it comes down to understanding the current scope of their marketing activities, coupled with their growth, you know, and the ambitions of where they're going to head in the next 6 to 12 months. I think that's a kind of a combination of things we want to be looking at. And maybe to really oversimplify, if we want to look at things like their advertising spend, we could say maybe looking at something like $20K to $30K dollars a month in advertising spend gives us an idea of your spending on perhaps, or most likely on different types of platforms. And you may be looking to increase that spend over time and do that in a more kind of confident way, knowing where you should be spending your budget. I think that that might, you know, give a quick ballpark. But then it comes down to where the pain point lies. You know, all of the things that we talked about earlier, if you don't, especially if you don't have an IT team and you're doing all of this in spreadsheets by yourself, and you're looking to argue to your CMO or CEO moving forward to, you know, how we can argue for more budget in the marketing team, and you can't produce those reports in a really efficient, quick manner, I think then we have a great case for saying, hey, this will be such a foundational place for you to start getting a bird's eye view of all your activities. Then I think that makes a great case. And our pricing does kind of reflect that, being from a more small use case start all the way to a more enterprise use case, which just accommodates, you know, a lot more complex setups. But yeah, I think that's the kind of quick overview of who we would work with today.
Great. And I think, you know, I just made a quick calculation because I haven't done it when we prepared. Like, I've done this calculation before we onboarded, but just with that single client that we mentioned at the beginning with the seven channels, that definitely fits the description of the client you mentioned. Without looking at how much they trade in media, just looking at what would be the internal cost and of time of an employee spending, right? Like the team actually doing it manually. I think that only on that client we saved 50% of the cost. And that's knowing that we're not using all of our account resources just for that client. So if we would do a relative and not an absolute comparison here, then we would definitely have a higher kind of save rate or a return on investment. So I can say that, again, really, this has been so efficient for us. And the truth is that I think one way in which you can look at it is that if there's one thing that the, you know, campaign managers don't like is when we throw platforms at them and then they don't understand what they need to use, because each one develops their own methodology and says, yeah, I know I can do that on Excel because I've done it for 10 years and I know how to do it very quickly. And the truth is that that was one of the tools where everybody really said, oh my God, I'm going to have to play with it because I understand the potential. And I think you never know who's going to be the team lead or the expert that kind of is the internal supporter, it's called, right? Like the internal promoter, that's the one that's kind of like helping everybody else to get on board. Everybody.
The champion.
The champion. Everybody became champions because they just, they were all, I think, just amazed by the efficiency of that. The moment they realize how to complete the setup and we've helped them, they... You know, now when I offer a new project and I say, who wants to do the, or like we have a new, who wants to be the champion or the project lead for the tracking, for the reporting and for funnel, they all volunteer because it became one of their favorite, but because it is a challenge to get it, but it's the key to succeed, to the success with the client. It's the key to scalability of service, to having quick access to making decisions on the campaigns, a lot easier than on the platform. So, again, it's not just me, but also the team members are promoting it internally.
No, that's super exciting to hear. And I think when it comes to implementation time, I think that's a really interesting topic, because any platform that has, you know, a wider range of capabilities will have some sort of setup time, right? And I think from what we've seen looking at some of the other platforms on the market, that implementation time, because there is so much more complexity involved with that, that can quickly go ranging from weeks to months to actually start even getting that first time to value. And I think even though funnel is a tool that you definitely wrap your head around over time, the more you use it and you know, get really comfortable using the transformation aspects and all these things inside funnel, you can kind of show that initial time to value. You can set up that initial dashboard within a day of collecting, you know, and connecting those data sources, mapping that data using some pre-contextualized fields that come out of the box with funnels. So there's a couple of things that we help to really accelerate that onboarding to show, hey, you've just, you know, created this Data Studio dashboard, even though we started collecting your data just a couple of hours earlier. And I think that's a really valuable point to show, you know, to test it out. It comes with a try before you buy kind of mentality of wanting to prove, hey, this is going to be worthwhile. And then you have that learning curve over time and building and or growing your use case once you've, you know, onboarded and have worked with a tool over a couple of months.
Great. All right. So towards the end, right, like I think we covered really all of the topics that we wanted to discuss. And mentioned multiple times how happy we are with Funnel. And that's really not just because it's a promoted podcast, but really because it made our life dramatically easier. Is there anything that you haven't had the chance to share, any tip for marketeers or data-driven marketeers that you want to use kind of the last minute or so of the podcast to address it to them?
Oh gosh, a lot of pressure to wrap it all up. I think we, like
clock
you
is
said,
ticking,
we covered,
59, yeah, 50, no joking.
We really covered a lot of ground. I think we covered all the main topics that I wanted to share. I think the main takeaway is to think about what it would be like for a team to have one solution in which you can really freely do your own analysis and experiment. I know marketeers, they want to do hypothesis, A/B testing. They want to figure out what's working, what's not, and look at anomalies and all of these, you know, identify trends really quickly. And I think for that, we want to, you know, accommodate that with a marketing data hub. And I think, if that is something that someone feels is going to be valuable in their team, more than happy to have those discussions and, you know, take those conversations further. You can always look at our LinkedIn page. We also have a lot of educational content, like YouTube videos and something we call funnel tips that kind of help you get up and running with marketing reporting and analytics and these kind of things. I think that would be my wrap up.
Great. And I would say as well that if you know, any of the listeners or our audience is interesting to hear more, you can of course reach out to you directly or just to the through the website. But he can also reach out to us. You know, we are happy to listen and understand the challenges and kind of find solutions. I'll say out loud that we're not resellers of the technology. We help implement them for clients. But I think these kind of conversations at the beginning is really what helps potential clients understand the value for them and understand it's really worth putting in the time to invest in that, because like you mentioned, the amount of average channels that a marketeer uses has doubled over the last few years. So it's not getting easier, and standard solutions therefore become more and more redundant or irrelevant or not keeping up with pace. So that would be my message. And I will thank you now, Antonia, for taking the time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It was indeed a pleasure, and I'm pretty sure we'll see each other soon talking about other partners and other opportunities.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I look forward to it, Adrian. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to another episode of Add to the Bone here with Funnel. I know I sound biased and I sound enthusiastic, but I swear to God, it has solved so many problems for us when it comes to reporting that, anyway, let me not repeat it. I'm sure that if you made it all the way to this point, to the outro, you by now understand how happy we are with their solution and why we recommend it to others to follow our way. If you enjoy this episode, we of course ask you to recommend it or share it with your colleagues, bosses, whoever you think will find it relevant to, and to take 10, 15 seconds and to support us by giving us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcasting app. Let it be Spotify, let it be Apple Podcasts. Just go in, click the number, and give us that kind of feedback so we can keep developing quality content for you and for the community. And that's it. Thank you very much for being with us again, and we'll see you next time. Till then. Take care.